I hope this presentation will continue nicely after Michelle's. This is somewhat related to messaging, but not messaging from your perspective, but more how governors are messaging transportation policy priorities. I also just want to acknowledge Amy. Amy was a collaborator on this project, and it was really her idea to use this these State of the State addresses as a data source to learn about governor support for transportation policies. The project was funded through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and I just want to say that I have no relationships to disclose. Here's just some backgrounds on states and governors and transportation. Transportation policies, as many of you know, impact health in various ways, and as many of you in this room, and what the title of the session is with, related to active transportation, is transportation policies can really encourage or impede individuals' opportunities to engage in active transportation. So states and governors can influence state transportation policies in various ways. Governors in particular are uniquely positioned to impact various state policy initiatives. So they can influence funding priorities through proposing the state budget. They sign into law or veto legislation related to transportation. They often appoint the director of State Department of Transportation, and they can select representatives for boards or commissions that do transportation-related work. And often governors use their platforms to spearhead statewide initiatives of personal interest. So thinking about like texting and driving initiatives, for instance. So although the important role of states and governors is well known as it relates to transportation policies, no studies to date have described patterns of governor support for transportation policies that impact health. So governors have their own uniquely publicly stated priorities and their decision-making record that often includes their position on certain transportation policies. And they communicate these issues as well as the overall status of the state in what's called a State of the State address. So this is an annual speech that is given by governors of most states in the U.S. to a joint session of their legislatures. And what's mentioned in these speeches are often translated into legislative bills and are aligned with the budget that they'll propose immediately following the address. So two past studies, one in the political science discipline and another by some economics researchers, have used these speeches as indicators of governors' policy agendas. But again, no study to date has really reviewed these addresses in relation to transportation policies and even in relation to transportation policies that impact health. Which leads me to my study objective, which was to qualitatively examine how governors communicate transportation priorities that influence health and state of the state addresses. So we really anticipate that this information can help identify specific leverage points for advocacy in certain states as it relates to multimodal transportation policies. So these were the methods that we used for data collection. We collected publicly available speech transcripts that were delivered from 2009 to 2013, which were drawn from the official homepages of governors or state legislative websites. As you can see here, just the website for Governor Jay Nixon from Missouri. So characteristics of the current and former governors that were included in the study, we also obtained that data from annual data provided by the National Governors Association. So we were interested in looking at trends by gender, party affiliation, and then also collected data on the year the governor assumed office. And all of the transcripts that we obtained were uploaded and analyzed using in vivo qualitative software. Just because of the sheer amount of data that we used that was available to us through the study, our analytic process really involved a number of steps consistent with qualitative content analysis methodology. Here's just a flowchart of our coding process. Our first step, which is on the far left, involved grouping the data according to a priori codes based on common public policy priorities. So budget, crime, economy, and then all the way on the bottom is transportation. So our research team used this preliminary coding tool to individually code transcripts using these broad categories. And then in the second step, in the middle, all the data coded under transportation was further grouped according to multimodal transportation or vehicular transportation. So criteria for multimodal transportation included the mention of transportation modes outside of just surface or vehicular transportation, excuse me. So like commuter high-speed rail, public transit systems, rapid bus systems, and walking and biking. And then in step three, all the way to your right, all the speech content that was coded as multimodal transportation was aggregated, and we used this speech content, we read and reread this speech content independently to gain thorough familiarity with the content and then to develop an initial list of codes that were represented in the data. And so using this list of codes, the speech data was coded, or three thematic patterns emerged, which was the current transportation problems, transportation impacts, and actions to improve, which I'll highlight here. So for the next few slides, I just want to share some general results on the speeches and then the governor trends, and then also some verbatim quotes that represent the three major themes that I mentioned. So here is just a table that depicts the trends in speeches delivered by year. The middle column represents the speeches that included multimodal transportation content, and then the far right are all of the speeches that were given each year. And so you can see on the bottom right, I just want to note this, that there are only 238 speeches, and so really it doesn't equal 50 per year, because some governors give speeches every other year. So just wanted to note that. But so you can see in the middle column, really just 63 out of the 238, the bottom middle is 63 speeches out of the 238 mentioned multimodal transportation, which is equivalent to 1 in 4 speeches. And as you can see, with the year with the most speeches including multimodal transportation content was 2009, which can be attributed to a lot of the governor talked about transportation in relation to stimulus funds. So in this table are characteristics of the governors. The middle column represents the 41 unique governors that delivered the 63 speeches with multimodal transportation. And then the right column represents all 90 unique governors that delivered all 238 speeches. So the majority of the governors that delivered speeches that contained multimodal transportation content were Democrat, male, and they represented varied regions of the country. So most were from the West, followed by the Northeast, followed by the Midwest, and then lastly, 20% of the governors delivered speeches with multimodal content were from the South. So this is just the meat of the presentation. The first major theme, as I mentioned before, was the current transportation problems. So a lot of the governors talked about their current transportation system in the context of aging infrastructure and traffic congestion. So many noted that the current roads and highways were deteriorating and crumbling and structurally deficient, which often resulted in major traffic congestion. And so Bill Ritter from Colorado said, "We don't have the resources to maintain aging and congested highways, and we don't have the resources to give commuters the transit choices they demand and they deserve." And a lot of the governors also talked about how transportation systems were ill-equipped to support population changes in their states. So Minnesota governor from 2011 said, "Minnesota is at a critical juncture with its transportation systems. Our investments are inadequate to maintain their condition or expand them to serve our growing population." And few mentioned kind of lack of funding as a transportation-related problem in their state, and also a source of additional transportation problems. So as you can see here, Republican Governor Tom Corbett from Pennsylvania mentioned the lack of funding among a list of other transportation problems like the growing demand and aging infrastructure. And how this leads me to my next theme of transportation impacts. And so they often talked about how transportation impacts other state policy priorities. And so a number of governors talked about the impact multimodal transportation systems had on economic development and job creation. So Andrew Cuomo from New York said the MTA capital investment, which is the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, their subway system, is also a major driver of economic activity and infrastructure development. Vendors and suppliers around the state support MTA work and provide thousands of local jobs. And very few governors talked about the relationship between multimodal transportation and the mobility needs of vulnerable populations in the state. South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds highlighted a new public transportation project that supported the needs of their state's special needs citizens and seniors and children. Connectivity between communities was mentioned in several speeches. So 2009, Ohio Governor Ted Strickland framed a passenger rail project in the following way. He said, "Our goal is to link Ohio's three largest cities by passenger rail for the first time in 40 years. This will be a first step toward a rail system that links neighborhoods within a city and cities within our state." And going broader from that, other governors talked about how the impact of transportation systems can really provide regional connectivity, particularly between states. So Peter Shumlin from Vermont highlighted this theme really nicely in his quote, "So as some states reject federal money for high-speed rail, I'm also committed to working in partnership with my colleagues in New England and the Premier of Quebec with a vision of a high-speed rail line from New York to Montreal with a spur to Boston. High-speed rail is the transportation of our global future, and it's high time that Vermont gets on board." And so the last connectivity piece is really this connection to other modes. And so thinking about, as Martin O'Malley from Maryland talks about the link between roads and transit. So by moving forward with the red line and the purple line, their public transit system in their state, we're striking a more sustainable balance between roads and transit to connect the infrastructure of a stronger future. We're working together to grow smarter. And another transportation impact that was often communicated by governors was the environmental impacts of transportation. So Ted Kulongoski from Oregon said, "Rebuilding our transportation infrastructure is a win in the fight against carbon, because we'll not just repair roads and bridges, we'll invest in the most green, sustainable, multimodal, energy-efficient transportation system in the country." So this leads me to another kind of sub-theme, other major theme was related to actions to improve. So thinking about action steps or strategies that governors are promoting for multimodal transportation. And this included direct mentions of specific multimodal transportation strategies. So few governors talked about the opportunities to expand transit services or carpooling. For example, New Hampshire Governor John Lynch stated that, "We must acknowledge that more roads alone will not meet the transportation needs of our citizens. We must continue to expand bus service and carpooling." This is, we'll probably make, the next two slides will make Jay proud. Neil Abercrombie from Hawaii really talked a lot about complete streets in the next slide, transit-oriented development. But this was the only state the only speech in all of the addresses that we analyzed that talked about complete streets policies. And Neil said, "I'll be proposing a bill that requires the Hawaii Community Development Authority to develop guidelines to implement the complete streets concept. This will be a comprehensive plan that involves all aspects of transportation, including walking and biking, and how these uses integrate themselves into street-level use." And here's just another great quote related to transit-oriented development. He was one of three governors that talked about this multimodal opportunity. But Honolulu moves on its transit plans. The state will actively encourage and support attractive, sustainable, transit-oriented redevelopment. So hand in hand with a lot of the transportation policies included land use principles and policies that can support active transportation, including smart growth principles. So Tim Kaine from Virginia stated, "The biggest challenge facing us in the decades-old gridlock in transportation investments." He went on to say, we made important progress in the last 4 years in implementing smart growth strategies to mitigate traffic congestion. And zoning ordinances and tax credits incentivizing compact development were mentioned by a few governors. Jack Dalrymple from North Dakota talked about a tax credit to promote main streets and revitalize downtowns. And so he said, "Building on the success of our Renaissance Zone program, we recommended that the Commerce Department promote the availability of planning services to towns and small cities that have not had much experience dealing with growth and expansion." So just a strategy there. And just for time, purposes of time, our major theme related to actions, sub-theme related to actions to improve was also funding opportunities. So a lot of governors just talked about some opportunities to enhance funding, such as talked about kind of increased fees. So thinking about like increased motor vehicle registration fees, or even alternative fuel vehicle fees. And as I mentioned previously, a handful of the governors talked about funding opportunities as it related to stimulus funds in 2009 as an opportunity to improve and invest in multimodal transportation systems. And then often accompanying the discussion related to stimulus funds was often to the need to establish more sustainable funding models for multimodal transportation systems. And then the last major sub-theme within actions to improve was just some organizational opportunities. So a lot of governors talked about the development of specific task forces, panels, or organizations to support multimodal transportation. And a lot of governors also talked about or encouraged public-private partnerships to implement some of these strategies. So our study did have several limitations. First, the findings reflect governors' priorities only communicated in state of the state addresses. So our analysis really doesn't provide a complete account for all governors' transportation policy priorities that impact health. And although our state of the state speeches are intended to influence both public opinion and legislative processes, this analysis does not assess kind of the subsequent policy adoption or implementation. But despite these limitations, we feel that we've demonstrated a novel method of examining state priorities through state of the state addresses. So I have a few conclusions, and then I'll wrap up with some research and practice implications. But to conclude, governors play an important role in state transportation policies. Policy messages conveyed through these addresses can provide an understanding of governors' policy agendas and legislative support for various policy issues, including transportation priorities. Transportation and public health professionals should engage in more tailored advocacy for multimodal transportation policies. And so our work really does lend itself to some additional research. There's an opportunity here to connect some of the messages that are conveyed in the speeches to subsequent adoption of these state policies. And there's also opportunities to kind of examine patterns in governor support according to specific characteristics. So thinking about characteristics of the governors, like the political party or gender, and then also characteristics of the state, like the region, level of urbanization, or the traffic congestion rate in the state. And lastly, we really believe that there's opportunity here for those working in public health policy or practice. If you know the level of support or the types of support that are communicated in governor's speeches, you can hopefully better align your work. More specifically, opportunities exist to better connect how governors talk about transportation problems and its impacts to promote multimodal transportation solutions. And so an example of this is if a governor highlights traffic congestion as a major problem in your state, perhaps demonstrate the linkage between specific multimodal transportation strategies and initiatives to reduce congestion rates. Lastly, there's this opportunity to use some of these innovative examples of governor support to push states that might have similar characteristics or are adjacent to that state to think innovatively as well. So, for instance, if a Kansas governor is vocal about supporting complete streets policies, policy advocates and practitioners may want to use this information to motivate or incite competition for similar support in an adjacent state like Missouri. And so I'll end with just this quote. To honestly address our infrastructure, we have to recognize that creativity is as important as concrete. I want us to turn our innovative spirit toward crafting a transportation package that includes roads, trains, light rail, buses, bike routes, and other modes of transportation. Thank you.